Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, Jesus tells us the truth. You heard the words from Exodus. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. They said it. We will be obedient. Underlined. You see, God was making a bilateral covenant with the Israelites. He would be their God. And that entailed certain things like forgiving their sins and providing for them. And the Israelites would do certain things that included being obedient. Stiff-necked people, though they were, they said, we will be obedient. How long did their obedience last? Did it last for even one day? Probably not. Almost certainly not. But we know for sure that within the 40 days, while Moses was up on Mount Sinai, the Israelites, who had claimed to be obedient, had built for themselves a god in the image of a golden calf and worshiped this manufactured calf god. Their claim to be obedient was meaningless. But how many times have I said, Lord, forgive me just one more time for doing this sinful thing that I have done. Lord, forgive me just one more time, and I will be obedient. I will never do it again. Just forgive me this time, Lord. How many times have you claimed that you would be obedient and failed? The answer is, you failed for as many times as you claimed to be obedient. We are not obedient people. Not when it comes to God. We are all rebels. I grew up in a denomination that taught and still teaches that the true mark of a Christian is that he is obedient to God's commandments. I remember coming out of worship services when I was a teenager, feeling all good and perky, and thinking that, well, now I'm all cleaned up, all my sins are forgiven, and I'm going to do better. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to be obedient, like the pastor said. And what do you know? Before I got out of the shadow of the church building, my mind and my heart were back in the gutter. We know that Jesus said that if you so much as hate your brother, it's the same as killing him. God's commandments are in force all the way to the human heart. God judges the heart. If I so much as lust after a woman, it's the same as committing adultery. If you so much as desire to have your neighbor's new shiny red car as your own, it is coveting. And coveting leads to theft. So I grew up mostly thinking that something was wrong with me, and there is, by the way. But I mean something that was different from you. How could all these other people be obedient and I can't be obedient? Well, I thought maybe just some of us can be obedient and others, like myself, can't be obedient. But Paul spoke to me one day and he said, why do I do the things that I don't want to do and don't do the things that I want to do? The Apostle Paul, after his conversion, Why do I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things that I want to do? Dear ones, if keeping a covenant with God depends on my obedience or your obedience, we are in heap big trouble. That is the truth. And tonight, Jesus is teaching us the truth, as he always does. We are sinners. We are lawbreakers. We are covenant breakers, like the Israelites. That is the truth. And so, confessing ourselves to be disobedient and rebellious sinners, we come to our gospel text tonight from Mark 14. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." So far the scripture. Judas would betray Jesus. He had the same problems as the Israelites, and the same problem as the other disciples, and the same problem that we have. He was disobedient. God wanted obedience from Judas, but Judas couldn't be obedient. You see, the devil had entered into Judas Iscariot. He was the devil's sinner. His big problem was the pride of the devil within him, kept him from repentance. And in that unrepentance is found the difference between Judas and the other disciples, who all ask, "Is it I? Is it I, Lord? I have murmured against the Lord. I have been disobedient." And now this sermon gets personal and points at you. You might ask yourself, "Is it I? Are you obedient to the commands of the Lord? Do you keep the Ten Commandments all the way to the heart?" The answer is no. Then repent. Repent. Repent and keep on repenting. For that is the way of the Christian. Confess your sins to God and believe that you are forgiven, as you already have tonight. That is the obedience and the keeping of the new covenant, the new one. Your Lord is always faithful to forgive you. And then listen again to some verses we heard just a few days ago from Philippians 2. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So far the scripture. Tonight, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus brings us the truth. And the truth is that our Lord's perfect obedience does for us what we could never do for ourselves. Because he is both true God and true man, the Lord Jesus' obedience fulfills both the God side of God's covenant and the man side of God's covenant. His covenant, his bilateral covenant, is fulfilled. God's covenant with mankind is perfectly kept and in force forever. And even though we are poor and disobedient servants, you and I, he has claimed us as his servants. Even more importantly, he has claimed us as his friends. His friends. He has claimed you as his and declared you to be holy in the waters of holy baptism. And reading again from the scriptures, And as they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." So far the reading. Come to his holy table tonight for a foretaste of the feast of the eternal Lamb in his kingdom. He, Jesus, the God-man, comes to you, comes to body you, and comes to blood you. That is the truth that Jesus brings to you tonight. For you see, after they ate and drank, they sang a hymn. Then they went out to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus, perfect, obedient, suffering, and passion began. Behold what God is about to do. God is saying, "Looky, looky here. This is what I'm about to do. Behold the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world." Jesus will go to the cross, suffer and die on the morrow, which in Hebrew life was already today. For you see, about 6 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, as we know it, began Friday for the Hebrews and ended at 6 o'clock the next afternoon. So after the supper, it was already Good Friday. In the darkness outside the upper room loomed the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the coming horrors of Golgotha on Good Friday. And that is the truth. That is the truth. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.